God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing, or Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to, God is writing to them, by the way, through Paul, but writing to this young church, and we can really act like, oh, this church is so bad, but when we read verses 12 through 20, and, you know, it's particularly talking about the purpose of our body, how to use our bodies, how to use our bodies for the honor of God. And it particularly talks about fornication. The sin of America is fornication. Fornication is so rampant within the Lord's churches, within good churches, within men and women. And the word fornication, as you'll see here, is from the word porneia. And it's not just the physical union of a man and a woman, but it's all kinds of just inappropriate behavior with our bodies. And so I think we're going to be encouraged. There's going to be a shocking part at the beginning. You're going to think, did he just say what I think he said? I'm going to, because the Bible says it. But it's then the Bible puts it all into context. Let's begin at verse 12. All things, now remember verse 9 through 11. Let's just read verse 9 through 11 just to help us with a little momentum. Verse 9. Know ye not, speaking to this church at Corinth here, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's quite the list. And again, I explained a few weeks ago that the issue is remaining in those sins, and that becomes, it's your identity, right? It's, can a Christian fornicate? Yes. But a fornicator be somebody that's living in it and immersing in it and is who they are, right? And so if these are who you are, you're not saved. Take that up with the Lord. That's what verses 9 through 11. Now, then, so that we don't become Pharisees, we have verse 12. All things are lawful unto me. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Again, title of the message, just a simple, the purpose of the body. I'm just telling you this. You're going to hear about this for the next 2.5 years. I got dog hair on me, and it bugs me, right? It's not good. You come into the pulpit, and you got dog hair on you. I'll tell you what, Flynn, I love dogs that don't live at my house. And it's Flynn, man, I'll tell you. Okay, I got it all off. It was like bugging me if I wasn't reading the text right. I know. Get over it, Steve. Get over it. I'm glad you love your dogs. More power to you. I love dogs. If I come to your house, you have a dog, man, I am happy. They can get the hair all over me, and it's okay. I just can't wait till Abby finishes school in 2.5 years. And or maybe, I don't want to say that. I'm going to get everybody in trouble. It's let's stick with the text before I alienate all of you, and you're like, I can't listen to a dog hater. And so look at verse 12. I want you to understand this. Verse 12, all things are lawful. Now, wait a minute. I wanted it to be without the verses, but we'll talk about it. All things are lawful. I'm gonna make a statement, and so let me just explain it. So it's this: let me, the Bible does it better. Just Romans 3:19. I'll use that and I'll explain it better. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things the law saith. And so let's just simplify it. There are really three laws that the Bible could be talking about. It could be the civil law. Well, we're not the nation of Israel. Civil law would be like speed limit 25, all those kind of things. You know, how to govern a nation so that there's not anarchy, right? So there's the civil law. There's the ceremonial law with all of the sacrifices and all the feasts and all of that. And the priests would lead those, and those are good. And then there's the moral law, you know, represented by the Ten Commandments, that God has written the law on everyone's heart, right? That everyone knows what's right and wrong. And so it says this, and we know what things soever the law saith. So just if you take it, that moral law, the Ten Commandments for simplicity. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Why? Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, right? So the law saying things to those who are under the law. What's it doing? Why is it doing that? That, remember, super popular, really interesting word in the Bible. That, or because, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So, Keaton, are you under the law? Then you're lost. Let me ask that question again. Keaton, are you under the law? No is the right answer, but it doesn't mean you're above the law, so understand this, but it means this, that all things are lawful. There's not anything I can do that will separate me from God. There's not any way I'll be under the judgment of the law ever again. Now, before you just have a conniption with me today, I'm going to show you, it's the point. So Paul, through the inspiration of the Lord, lists all of these sins, that if you're living in those sins, you cannot be saved, but he then is making sure of this. It's because, imagine this, if lust is adultery of the heart, then I'm in trouble. Our sins have been forgiven. I'm not under the law. I'm not under the condemnation of the law. I'm not under the judgment of the law. And if you're saved, neither are you. Now let me take it to Romans chapter 6. So Keaton, are you under the law? You're not under the judgment of the law. I explain this to folks, so I don't talk about this a lot from the pulpit. I wish I would. But it's this. Jesus, let me ask you this. Who can I ask this to? Joe. I don't know. I mean, it's just like, there's a little piece of tape under your chair. I said, that's who I'm going to ask a question. And lo and behold, you sat in it, just like you do every week. But, Joe, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Could Jesus have just gone, okay, I'm going to use this word, but don't get offended, Shazam, and put on flesh? Could he have done that? Adam and Eve weren't born of a human. Could Jesus have just gone, shoink? So the answer would be, no. He couldn't. Couldn't. All right, since this was not a planned thing, let me take you here. Let me take you to Galatians chapter 4. I want to show you this. I'm going to make this statement, and then I'm going to prove it to you. Okay? Jesus, how many of you agree he had to have a body? Yes, amen? Had to have a body. The greatest reason why we sin in our bodies, our substitute had to take our punishment in his body. You understand this? But it had to be born of a human. And then that human had to be a virgin, a woman, so that he'd be born sinless. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, I want to show you this. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. I will tell you, did Adam and Eve... Noah, did Adam and Eve have to fulfill the law when they were created? No. Dad gave you a little hint there. That's good. I love, you know, no. They weren't under the law. If Jesus, see, I want to know this. In order to go to heaven, you and I have to be perfect law keepers. Jesus was born under the law, and he had to fulfill it. And he did. Didn't do anything wrong, did everything right, perfectly fulfilled the will of the Father. I will tell you, he had to be born of a human, born of a virgin. The virgin was required because he had to be sinless. The human had to be was required because he had to be born under the law. So I'm going to suggest, and I think your answer did when you said the big, you know, the but. And I would suggest he couldn't. You want to wrestle? No, I'm just, so it's good. So I'm telling you this, I don't think he could because he then wouldn't fulfill the law because he had to be born under the law. So that would say he couldn't, right? Would you agree with that? Amen. Absolutely right. So yeah, if you agree with me, okay, I'll always make sure we get to that point. It's okay. My point is, we're born under the law. And that's under the condemnation of the law. When Jesus saves, are we under the law? No. Romans 6. Now, I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians 6 and explain this and just take a deep breath because God explains this as well. But Paul, they're dealing with very young people, very young believers, right? So he says this. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Who are the people that are under the law? The lost, unsaved. Unsaved people are under the law, under the judgment of the law, under the requirements of the law, under the burden of the law, and they will be judged by the law. And so it says, and the reason why, what a beautiful thing. See, that's not a bad thing. God put the law, and they're under the law, and he puts the law in their heart, brings it to their mind, so that every mouth may be stopped. It's like they're quiet, no more excuses. And that everyone might be guilty. They would understand, I'm in trouble. You will not seek the remedy until you understand you're in trouble. Now look, Romans 6. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law. Eaton, are you under the law? You are not under the law. I trust that. Have I crossed the line tonight? Have I crossed the line tonight? No, I'm just not feeling well. I'm glad you're here. I've only got four more questions I'm going to ask you tonight. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, then, this is God's response to that. It's like, whoa! It's the same when people understand that we say, I'm secure in Christ. And they're like, well, then I would sin all I want. And I just tell them this, well, your want to changes, why do you want to? But we are saying this. There's nothing that can separate me from God. Nothing. It's all going to be put together tonight. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? So you take this too far. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Okay? Now, there's an inference here. Okay? Not to the extreme of verse 9 through 11, but could you? Theoretically? There's a theoretical. Could you theoretically? Yes, but it's the most ridiculous thing because if you're saved, then the Lord's going to chasten you. He's going to correct you, and you're not going to be able to wallow in it like a pig in mud, and so that you won't remain in fornication. But I will tell you this. I want you to know this. There's not a timeline, and I don't know this. So I'm just going to look down because we've got folks in our midst that they lived in fornication for a while. And I think they might have been saved. Probably were saved. God brought them out of that. Do you know what the timeline is, Stephen? I don't either. And so don't get all bent out of shape if you think I'm not. I'm just telling you this. It's not good to live in sin. Right? My sin will not separate me from God. But I will tell you this. I better examine myself because if I enjoy sin too much and I can wallow in it like a pig in mud, that may identify myself that I was never truly saved because, you know, we just need to examine ourselves. So now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I really believe this is the context, but I'm not taking it to a ridiculous point because a lot of churches today take it to a ridiculous point because they're not reading the whole thing. All things are lawful unto me. Paul's saying this, I can do anything. What he's saying, what he says is, look at this, but all things are not expedient. Now, here's what expedient means. I think you should write this down in your notes. This is really good. That's why I put it in there. Normally, I don't put this kind of detail. But it says, here's what expedient means. Necessary, profitable, beneficial, or good for us. Paul said this, all things are lawful unto me. Yeah, I can do it. But the reason I won't is what the conclusion is. If it doesn't honor Christ, I won't do it. The Bible gives us other reasons. If it'll cause my brother to stumble, my sister to stumble, then I shouldn't do it. You follow me? There's a whole lot of reasons. But he says this, there's not anything that'll separate me from the love of God. I'm no longer under the law. Should I sin that grace abound? God forbid. But he's talking to the church here because it's the balance of preaching truth. Because I believe in this church there were a lot of people fornicating. I've told you this. I try not to go into a lot of detail. You understand that in Corinth there was a temple. And every Friday, this was the ritual of this evil city. We're not far from that in some of our places in the world. They had it's just evil. There was 1,000 temple prostitutes up at the temple in Corinth, and every Friday night it's like, gonna go worship our God, amen. And the men would go up worshiping their God. Is the devil just, and that was the practice in this city. And then people get saved out of it. And they're just thinking, well, you know, I got this thing I do every Friday night. And when you get saved, Friday nights should change. Right? And that's what Paul's going to tell them. But they were fornicating. And so he said, but he's trying to balance all this. He doesn't want them to think, you know, he said, nothing will separate you. All things are lawful unto me, but they're just not expedient. Don't take this grace that God's given us and abuse it. You follow me? It would be sin. It would be sin. And so here's what he says. All things are not expedient. And so remember this. Just remember this. It's super important. All things aren't necessary, profitable, beneficial, good for us. And really, even though the word expedient doesn't mean this, not honoring to God. Because we're going to get there in all these other passages. You follow me? And so, it's kind of like, it's truth, but it's challenging. You follow me? I'm not advocating loose living. That's not what this is about. This is telling you that there is nothing that will separate us. There's nothing that I'm no longer under the law. All things are lawful for me, but all things aren't good for me. Follow? That's what he's saying. And so now, let's see what the body isn't for. And so let's see what the body isn't for. And so let's just look at verse 12. I'll just tell you this. All things are not lawful to me. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. But all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And so what the body isn't for is fornication. I'll use that verse in just a second. Fornication, I want you to look at verse 13. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Here's what people say. Well, you know why God gave me a belly? To eat a lot of food. You know why he gave me meat? To eat it. And then you could carry it on. You know why he gave me this drive for women? That's where Corinth was. You follow me? And so I'm just going to follow my desires. I'm hungry. Let's make a sandwich. Hey, she's looking good. Let's take care of that. That was a saying in Corinth. Meat for the body and meat for the belly and belly for the meat. It's this. It was justification of, if I want it, it must be good because it's of God. You got to understand this. When you got saved, your flesh didn't get saved. You got to understand this, that if I, you know, I told you this before. My son would say, Dad, you don't trust me. I said, Josh, I trust you. I just don't trust your flesh. If you can show me a reason that I can trust your flesh, I will lighten up. He never did give me an answer. And you know, it's this. Don't you dare trust your flesh. Don't you just pursue the whims of your flesh and justify it and say, well, if I wasn't supposed to have this desire, God wouldn't give it. You know, submit it to the Lord. Submit it to the Lord. So you can see, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. You got to understand this. That's not... It's to allow us to live. And so the body wasn't for fornication. Look at verse 13. A meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. I want to show you this. Fornication or sin dominates. In this context, he would be talking about sin, but look back at verse 12. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Understand this. Sin is powerful. Sin will put you in bondage even as a Christian. You understand that? Sin can be addictive. You can pursue it. It can get you in its grip. didn't say you're going to hell, but he said, I will not, you see this, I will not be brought under the power of any. You pursue sin, I pursue sin, and I'll tell you this, sin will, it'll put a shackle on you. Now, Christ is the only hope for a Christian, but I'll tell you this, you play with sin, expect to be bit. And so Paul says this, all things are lawful unto me, not all things are expedient, and I will not be put under the power of any. If I think I can pursue sin and I can escape the power of sin, I'm a fool. Follow me? I want you to know this. Sin dominates, and particularly this sin of fornication. And so, you know, we're talking to everybody. Singles, married, the whole gamut here, right? It's God expects us to have discipline over our bodies and over our flesh, and we're going to have all the reasons why we should, and it'll be super encouraging. But he said, our body's not made for fornication. Fornication dominates. I want you to see this. Fornication destroys. Look at verse 18. This is a super interesting verse. I don't know what all this means, but it means what it says. Verse 18, flee fornication. So, you know, for all of our singles that are, you know, dating and all that, you might have to run home sometime. It wasn't a metaphor. Joseph ran. Joseph was wise. And you say, what good did that do Joseph? Wow, he honored God. He honored God. And you know what? Potiphar's wife lied about him, but he honored God. He suffered without a cause. Beautiful thing. And so sin destroys. Look at verse 18. Flee fornication. Just, it's good. Flee fornication. Run! Run! Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Sin is an eternal spiritual element. But now look at this. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. There's something about the sin of fornication. There's something that affects our bodies differently than any other sin. I'm not saying fornication is the worst sin. All I'm telling you is just what the Bible says. The Bible says this. All sin, it says this, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And maybe this, a little bit part of it, you know, with sexually transmitted diseases and all that kind of stuff, right? It's begun to, you know, just spiral out of control. And then, you know, man's solution is, let's get a drug or some other alternate rather than self-control, right? So it destroys. The body wasn't for fornication. It dominates and it destroys, and it's a unique sin. It's a unique sin. And the Bible says that he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And third, it dishonors God. I want you to look at this. Look at verse 13. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. It is his body, not ours. And when we indulge in sin, in this particular passage, when we indulge in fornication, it is dishonoring to God. We are involving God in it because he is in us. That is exactly what the Bible is talking about. And if we are conscious of this, we don't want to do that. But what we do is we justify the urges of the flesh. I want to make this one comment. The physical relationship between a man and a woman is beautiful. It's of God. And so I don't say this very often. You know, I say it privately. So you know why the physical relationship between a man and a woman is so delightful? God intended it to be. You know, I tell people, you know, one-on-ones, they're like, here's the number, you know, the number one answer I get. I go, you know why it's so amazing? The room, because it's sinful. That's all, I get that answer 80% of the time. And so, no, I want to tell you this. It's glorious, it's wonderful, and it's of God within his design. And what the world has told us is, hey, Flynn, you're a dog. Susie, I smell her down the road. You're not a dog. It's part of the outcome of evolution that just says this. You're a dog. You're an animal. You're not. You're created in the image of God. And then as a believer, your body's not your own. It's His. We need to keep our bodies with sanctification and holiness and honor to God. And that means we have to resist this flesh, because the flesh will want to dominate. When you got saved, your flesh didn't. Your flesh will never want to read the Bible. Your flesh will never want to tell people about Jesus. Your flesh will never want to do what's right. Your flesh will fight you till you die, till your flesh dies. Don't get tired of that. Don't get weary in well-doing. And so this is the motivation. And so what is so crazy is the church at Corinth was struggling with this. This is the sin of the 21st century in the Lord's churches. It is. It might be covetousness and then pleasure-seeking in this vein. That's the sin of America. And let me tell you this. We must fight it. Fight it. And for the honor of Christ. That's why it matters. The honor of Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you understand that? We can. I'm not interested in 90% success. I think we can have 100% success. Don't be satisfied until you have victory over the thoughts, the eyes, and all that goes along with this. You follow me? And so it dishonors the Lord. Now, the body, what is it for? What is it for? Let's just look at verse 13, and we'll look at we can look at verse 13, and first the body is the Lord's. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And so look at this. I got verse 14. No, what about verse of God? Verse 13. Verse 13. Oh, I'm supposed to have a line. It's supposed to say, yeah. The body is for the Lord. It should be verse 13. Should be verse 13. Sorry. Could be verse 13 and verse 20. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Remember this. Why did God give us a body? For His glory and His honor. It sort of helps us a little bit. There's a little mystery to me. I ask people this all the time, and I'm not saying it's so wrong. Would you be okay just going to heaven in soul and spirit? Yeah, I get it. But it wouldn't fully honor God. You know why? He created us to honor Him with a body. And we're going to have an eternal body, and that's His plan, and that's the way we truly honor Him. The body was created for Him. So we need to act that way now. Right? So why do I have a body? For God. I don't have a body for me to consume upon myself selfishly and just satisfy every whim and need of Steve Hall. My body was created so that I might honor God. Right? If I didn't have a body, could I honor God? Not this side of heaven. Right? Because you know what I'd be? Non-existent or dead, one or the other. Right? And so I'm thankful He gave me life, and life only happens this side of heaven in a body. So He gave me my body to honor Him. And it's His plan. And for eternity, you know why I'm going to have a body for eternity? Because He will have me use it for Him. Don't you think we're just going to be like, bling, bling, you know, on a cloud? There's going to be a work to be done, and we will use our bodies for His glory. He's not just giving us a body just because it's really cool. When I ask people, why was Jesus born of a virgin? They're like, because God's awesome. He is awesome, but that really didn't answer my question. There's a why. And so I want you to just, see, enjoy the Bible. I'm not saying I've got the exhaustive answer for why He gives us a body, but Nassim, there is a grand, glorious purpose, and it's just not because. For us to have a body eternally. That's a little bit of a mystery to me, because I would give that answer too. I just want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if it's without a body, but you know what? I think I'm thinking wrong. Because He wants me to have a body, because that will better glorify Him, right? And I want you to know this. And this is good. This is good. I'm just saying, it's because it's from the Bible. Amen. Keep saying it. No, I don't mean to be saying that. When I say this is good, it's because it's from the Bible. It's just know this. What's the pinnacle of my Christian life? You should know what's in my head. To be conformed to the image of Christ. When is my conformity complete? When I get my new body. It's glorious. And so I'm telling you this. Wait till you see. We're going to get into some really cool stuff. That these bodies, though temporal, are a big deal to God. It's a big deal to God, right? And so, look, I won't say that tonight because I'm just too controversial. But I believe it, but I don't have to say everything I believe. Anyway, let's move on. So the body is for the Lord, right? Our body will be resurrected. Look at verse 14. This just wasn't thrown in there just for like, I need another verse. God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. What will he raise up? Our bodies. And how we live in this body is a big deal because our bodies will be resurrected and made new. Yes, of course it will. But it's a big deal. And so this is the vessel that God has given me, and I need to honor him and do what's right. And what it means is I need to suppress unholy desires of this flesh and do what's right. It could be anger. It could be lust. It could be the sexual sin like this. It could be anything. It could be laziness, oversleeping. It could be overeating. And it could be overeating if you're skinny. And some of you skinny people out there, you're like, you know, just because you have a high metabolism doesn't mean you're godly, okay? But we don't want to abuse these bodies, right? We don't want to abuse these bodies. Major on the majors, minor on the minors. Diet Mountain Dew is fine. Some of you got, I ran into this lady down in Georgia, right? Took her and her husband out to eat one night, and should have been her husband and her, but she was kind of the talker. And she's like, oh, you drink Diet Mountain Dew? I said, yeah, that's really not a topic we're going to cover tonight, because I knew she's like a health nut. And I said, you know, it's in heaven. She didn't know me. She goes, one thing I can tell you, it's not in heaven. I said, I was just kidding. It's probably not in heaven. And so, you know, if they came out and they said, you know, because I don't know what to believe, and they said, you know, you're shortening your life by 5 years, you drink Diamond, I'm going to stop drinking Diamond Mountain Dew. Find the study, send it to me, and I won't read it. And look, I do think we need to take care of our bodies. And so I'm not advocating foolishness, but it matters because my body's going to be resurrected. It's a big deal to God. It needs to be a big deal to me. And then how I treat this body, how I use this body for God's glory is a big deal. It's a big deal. And if I use it for sin and lasciviousness and unholiness and ungodliness, I dishonor God, and it's horrendous. He gave me this body for his glory, then I use it for my selfishness. How dare I? It's just not right. And so all of us, right? All of us. We just need to do that. And now, I love this. Look at verse 15. The body's for the Lord, and we are members of Christ's body. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. He says, verse 15, now you know that your bodies are the members of Christ. How did they become members of Christ? Somebody, a man, want to raise their hand and tell me? I will tell you this, Brother Leap. They're in Christ, but I don't think they were part of the body of Christ until water baptism in one of the Lord's churches. Okay? A lot of confusion here, right? You're in Christ, but you're not part of the body of Christ until you're baptized, water baptism, into his body. This is written to a church. I'm just telling you. Take a deep breath. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? He's speaking to the church at Corinth. There is nowhere in the Bible you get into the body of Christ through water baptism. Every time. And so I just tell you that it says we are members of Christ's body. That is a privilege. When you're saved, you become a member of the family of God. When you are baptized into a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you become part of that body of Christ. You will find no other avenue in the Bible that you become part of a body of Christ. Otherwise, everybody is part of the body of Christ, and you get to a universal church real quick if you don't understand this verse. Follow me? I am a local church guy. Only a local church guy, and I just basically said wet water, which is unnecessary, but it's necessary in our day and age, right? You can't come up with a new definition with ecclesia. It always means assembly, and it means a seeing assembly. And it doesn't say that in the definition because every assembly has to assemble, and when an assembly assembles, it can be seen, right? I'm not trying to get too complicated here. Corinthians is used for the universal church more than almost any of the book I've had people talking about. And they look at me because they've never heard anybody, and that's why I make the stance for you. I just want you to understand this. This is not complicated. Is everybody part of the Lord's church institutionally? No. And I leave that all up to God. You know, he's got it all down. I'll just tell you this, it's not. You become part of a church of the Lord Jesus Christ through water baptism, and you know what each independent church is called? An independent body of Christ. It's a big deal. And so he's talking to them in an elevated fashion. Know you not, he's talking to the members at church at Corinth, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. Because if you become part of the body of Christ, you've instantly adopted the universal church thinking. You follow me? And you can't find it. You follow me? I'm just challenging you to think. What is the body of Christ? How do you become part of the body of Christ? Where's the Bible verse that tells me what I believe and matches it? Right? So just chew on it a little bit, and it's a privilege to be a part of the body of Christ. That then, you understand this. So then, let's just say I'm a believer, I'm a member of Hope Baptist Church. I've got this physical body, you know, right here. Right? So I got this physical body, and then I have a body of fellow believers, fellow members, and so you remember this? What I do in this body not only affects this body, but it affects this body. You following me? This is the logical progression that God is teaching this church. You follow me? It ain't just you. Because you know what? I'm willing to suffer the consequences, right? I know people that speed, and that's what they say. And I've repented of it a couple days ago. But, you know, I used to say that. Well, you know, I understand. Romans 13, amen. I'm just willing to suffer the consequences. Oh, dummy, you Pharisee, justifying your sin. I shouldn't speed. I'm decent locally. I could never be on deputation. I would have lost my license the first month. They're like, this is your 10th? Oh, no, sorry, officer. But, you know, a cruise control, right? I did cruise control down to Georgia, and people were passing me. Grandma, her teeth fell out when she looked at me. I'm like, what are you doing? And I want you to know this. Because this is the reality, right? This is what we think. Bigger than you. Part of Hope Baptist Church. There's something bigger than your little body. There's a body of Christ that we represent. And you see, you follow how the Lord's doing this, how he's talking to this church here. It's like this. How you behave, what you do, it's going to affect your body. Fornication affects your body, but it's also going to affect the body of Christ that you're a part of. You follow me? I'm okay. I love this. Because I can't tell if you guys just are tired because it's time change, or maybe some of you are cross-eyed and I didn't know it. But I just tell you this, that talk to me about this. Let's study it, right? You'd be blown away. If you believe every Christian is part of the body of Christ, you instantly believe in the universal church. One big body, there's not a big body. There's independent, individual bodies with Christ as their head. Hope Baptist Church is not the belly button, right? Hope Baptist Church is a complete functioning body of Christ. And when God adds to us, here's the way I look at it. Wow, what capability is God adding? You know, I kind of, you know, like Iron Man, I got a new function, right? When God adds people to our church, I look at it that way. What might God want them to be here for? That he might be glorified. I would not have had a clothing ministry. I love Closet of Hope. I do. I told somebody the other day, the only reason I have a Closet of Hope is because I believe in you two. Remember, I tried to put you off forever, right? They said, we believe, we prayed about it. I said, let's pray about it some more. I waited a year, right? I didn't bring it up, right? Because I was like, I don't even do this. Not good. And they came back and said, we prayed about it, and it's still a burden of our heart. We believe God would want us to do this. And I'm like, let's do it. And I'm going to be behind it. If you don't think I'm behind it enough, you let me know. I'm not just doing it just because. I believe that God wanted us to have a clothing ministry, and he wanted you to lead it. He wanted you to get it started, and I praise the Lord for that. You understand that? If you feel like I'm not supporting it properly, or I'm just like, second rate. No, it's not. You follow me? I believe in people. I believe that's why I view it that way. You follow me? I do. It's God gives us capability, not just for capability's sake, for His honor and His glory. God gives us skills in the body so that we'll use it for Him. Are you following me? All right. So then we are members of Christ's body. Remember, so I've got some verses here, but that clock is really sped up here with time change. Romans chapter 12, it's just good, you know. So now we're going to talk about our individual bodies. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is reasonable that we submit our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's reasonable that we would sacrifice the whims and the ungodly desires of our flesh, that we would submit those to God. He says, holy, acceptable unto God. It's reasonable. Be not conformed to this world. And that would be like the thought of a jello mold. You know, the devil doesn't know this, but you're being put in a jello mold of the world. So you'll look like them, act like them, talk like them, think like them, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you going to renew your mind? The Word of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you get your mind removed, you'll start thinking right, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 6:13, neither yield you your members, you know, your body, members, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness and sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Now, Romans 6 could actually be talking about, you know, each individual member of that body of Christ at Rome, but anyway, but let's just look at it individually. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness and sin. There was a song, I think I told you this, but my sister was such a better piano player than me, a pianist, right? But so it just sounds, I don't like that name, but a piano player, right? So we were at camp and she was 2 years older than me, and she did The King Is Coming. It's a clunky sounding thing. I did, yield not to temptation. I didn't sing it, but I played it on the piano, right? And it was just so smooth and glorious. I won. That was the greatest thing that little brother could do. I'd be like, you work a lot harder than me. I beat you. And so that only was reminded me because it yielded not to temptation. That's the only reason. And I just thought I would tell you I won and beat my sister one time. Like, that has nothing spiritual. But it says, neither yield you your members as instruments unto righteousness and sin. So I want you to see this. Kids, sorry. Young ladies, the next time you're driving down the road, you know what it means to yield? Big old yellow sign, kind of in a diamond. Yield. You know what that means? What's it mean? No, it means speed up because there's a summit. That's my definition. No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. Yield. Yield means yield to others, right? Yield to others. And when it says yield not, don't yield to your body. Your body might be saying, yeah, that's looking good. You know what it says? Don't yield to your body. Yielding on the road is a good thing. It'd be like, go right ahead. That's what it means, you know. It's my middle name. Right there. And, but I know, yellow lights, I'm working on it. Yellow lights to me usually mean, it means slow down and yield, right? So anyway, parents, if your kids are maniacs on the road, it's your fault. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Don't yield to sin. Run away. Flee. But yield yourselves unto God. You see, we're either going to yield to sin, yield to our flesh, or yield to God. As those that are alive from the dead, we've been given all we need to have victory. And your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God. I'm not far from done. I want to tell you this. When I finish Corinthians, you're going to think I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I'm not. Freedom in Christ is not freedom to do anything we want to do. So you're going to think this. I am not under the law. Okay? All things are lawful to be. It's just not expedient, right? And in freedom in Christ, what does freedom in Christ mean? Damien? I'm free to do what's right. That's what freedom in Christ means. I want you to know that. I know, you're just like, you're like, man, it's time change. We were driving all day yesterday to get to this place, and you did look tired. I just helped you kind of wake up a little bit. But it's this. So I want you to know this. Freedom in Christ is not freedom to do whatever I want. Though all things are lawful to me, freedom is I can finally do what's right. I can overcome sin. I'm not speaking out of both sides of my mouth, but you might accuse me of that. But I'm just telling you, there's no sin that'll separate you from God. The reason why we ought to discipline our bodies is because the honor of Christ is at stake. And it says, now, I wanted to take you to verse 17, and I got to hustle, man, because it's time change, and You guys were checked out at 20 minutes ago. Verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And I do agree with that small s there, right? Even though it's still the word pneuma. It's one spirit. It's this. Body, soul, and spirit. And so I want you to know this. When I sin with my body, it not only is sinning with my body, it's sinning with my spirit, and I'm joining the Lord into that. So let me just tell you, spirit, if you want to understand spirit in that effect, it's like affections, intention, and disposition. It's the mindset, it's the emotions, I need to serve the Lord with this. See, because the reason why verse 17 is important is this. You might refrain, let's just say for this example, you might refrain from fornication, but with a bad attitude. We need to refrain from fornication with the Spirit of Christ, with delight and with gladness. Because if we are just refraining from the physical activity or the just involvement in that in any way, shape, or form, and our heart's not there, we're bringing Christ along with that. You follow me? Our spirit also involves him. You follow me? You follow me? Maybe I want you to ponder that verse, because none of you guys are like, I'm too tired to shake my head. Now, just so you know, I know how tired you are. I was driving to church tonight, and I fell asleep at the light. That was bad, right? And I know, but it wasn't that long. It wasn't that long. I left at 2:30, got here at 5. But it wasn't that bad. I literally fell asleep, so I know you're tired. I know you're tired, but it's this. So I want you to know this. When we sin, we're involving Christ. We're involving the Lord, not only in our physical activity. He indwells us, but with our spirit. You follow me? The Bible's so good, it wants you and I to holistically honor him. Body, soul, and spirit. Follow me? And so then finally, we are bought with a price. What a glorious thing. This is so beautiful. Let's just read verse 20, and I'm almost done. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're bought with a price. If I borrowed Seth's car, I would drive carefully. You wouldn't know that. I borrowed a guy's truck one time up in Lima. I was too cheap to go have the mulch delivered. I have mulch delivered always now. Could have had it lifetime delivery for what it cost me. So I borrowed his truck. It was like a bubble truck, right? What I mean by that, you know, he has like bubbles everywhere, like this fender like bubbles out. I mean, that's really nice. It's like, it was good. It was a good truck. Got the mulch loaded, you know, boop, 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 backing up into my yard because, you know, I don't want to like wheelbarrow it. I'm just going to pull the truck up and, you know, right into the mulch bed. Well, I had this little stupid tree. Killed it after this. Had no business being there. We moved to Lime Old House. I didn't know where the trees were. I didn't plant them, right? And all of a sudden, it's like, I'm like, ah! Hit one of the bubbles. Those bubbles are expensive, let me just tell you. And so this is back in the day. This is like 30 years ago. $700. I know you're like, $700. $700 was a lot of money back then. It'd be $3,500 today, right? Maybe not. But I fixed his truck. And Alicio, super nice guy. He's like, oh, no, Steve, you do not have to. He was Hispanic, so I'm, that's why I have an accent when I'm saying that. But it's it wasn't very Hispanic, was it? It's like, was he Asian? But Alicio was so nice. He was so nice. He said, no, you don't have to fix my truck. I said, no, I have to fix your truck. I said, it's not mine. I got to take care of your truck. Your body's not yours. You're not yours. You were bought with a price. I'll finish with this verse, glorious verse. Look at this, 1 Peter 1, it says this, for as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. I'm not going to heaven because of some transaction financially. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You know what? That's stupid if you ever hear that. That's what he's saying. I'm just paraphrasing. But with the precious blood of Christ. You know why I'm redeemed? The precious blood of Christ. The work of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know what? It's not my truck. It's not my body. It's not my life. He bought me. I'm his. And it's good. It's from his blood. And when I get a hold of this, if we look in the mirror and we realize this, how can I do this sin against God? That's what this chapter finishes with. You follow me? He says this, all things are lawful unto me. Had you nervous at the beginning? But I'm telling you this, whatever would dishonor Christ, I ought to have nothing to do with. That's beautiful. It's not my truck. It's not my Bible. It's not my body. It's His. My life is His. That's what it's all about. I am bought with a price. Do not forget. When you and I sin, we forget whose we are. When you and I sin, we forget about the Lord. When you and I sin, we forget, why am I here? When you and I sin, we forget why He gave me 10 fingers. He gave me 10 because that was better than 11, and He wants me to use all 10 fingers for His honor and His glory. I'm not kidding. That's why He gave me a body. That's why He's going to give me one eternally, because He is glorified when we honor Him in our bodies. The purpose of our body? For Him. In His honor and His glory. Let's pray.